Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. This morning's episode is entitled The Necessity of a Godly Marriage. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, which reads as follows. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers, if it's an old word, and adulterers, but will judge. And also I'm going to be reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, at chapter 3. Paul writes in verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." So let me begin by saying that marriage is a fundamental institution. Marriage is an inherent part of the plan of God. In the book of Genesis, we see that God ordained marriage. And in fact, God himself performed the first marriage. And so with that in mind, we see what God thinks of this institution and its place in society. We read that in the book of Genesis that God first created the Adam, and then later on, God put the Adam to sleep and he took a tissue sample from him. And in that tissue sample that God had taken from the Adam, let me say that the Hebrew text does not read with, that God had taken one of the man's ribs. It simply reads a tissue sample. So it is from that sample that we read God built the woman, or the man with the womb. In the book of Genesis, both the Adam and his wife are called Adam. And so this relationship that God ordained in the book of Genesis is the foundational relationship that God put in place for continuity and so that life have a moral foundation, or according to the book of Genesis, God would be that foundation. After God built the woman, and the word built in Hebrew is very different. It is asah. It is a very different word from bara that we read in Genesis 1, where we read that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That word is bara, and it is only used of the activity of God. Asa, on the other hand, is a word of refinement. It is a word that captures the detail with regard to creation. And so we see that the woman was made in a sense, finer with different sensibilities than the Adam. And so after God had fashioned the woman, he brought her to the man. And interesting that the man up on seeing the woman, because up to that point, no other created being had a similitude or likeness to himself. Excuse me. And so when the Adam saw the woman, at least in Hebrew, his response was, "This is the hit. This is the hit." And there was at once that knowing this familiarity with Isha. Also in the text, the man is called Ish, and his wife is called Isha. So God brought her to him. God knew that it was not good for the man to be alone. And so God created this wonderful relationship that is to exist within the human family. And so understand that the male-female relationship is complementary. And please note that the text does not deal with, anything or a relationship that would transcend marriage in any manner. God looks upon marriage as his foundational institution for the continuity of society, for the continuity of life, for the continuity of family, what family means. And so this is the divine legend. God not only gave marriage to the church, God gave marriage to human. And the oldest relationships that we can find, and in the oldest materials we can investigate, we find this of the relationship of marriage. And so it is important to recognize this. Now, when we go to the New Testament, we learn that that marriage is a type of the relationship that Christ has with his church. In fact, the church is called the bride of Christ. The Greek word for church, ekklesia, has a feminine of cases, and whereas Christ is masculine in Greek. So, excuse me, there is that picture of that oneness of the relationship that we have with him. Now, one day Christ is going to return for his bride, the church, which he will receive unto himself, as we are told in the scripture, without spot or wrinkle. Now, believers understand the importance of having Christ as the foundation of marriage. And with that awareness, believers are encouraged to know the Word of God, not outside the Word of God, but we're enjoined by the Scripture to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Excuse me. So that we might not sin against God. And we are to honor our marriage partner. We are to honor the one with whom we share the relationship of marriage. Now, in Hebrews 13, verse 4, we read, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled." The Greek has koitet. And of course, it speaks here of a sexual relationship that occurs in marriage. So, But notice after the colon, it reads for the whoremongers and adulterous guard. Church. The Greek word here for whoremongers is pornea. Of course, in which we get our word pornography. For whoremongers, in the old English word, of course, pornea and adulterers. Church. And Paul's letter to the first letter that he has to the church at Corinth, Paul talks about marriage and what the marriage relationship means for believers. This is a very important spiritual topic. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul deals with marriage and what the Holy Spirit has given him to communicate to the church with regard to this pivotal relationship. And so I'm going to begin in chapter 6. When Paul writes in verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot?" And Paul says, "God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, he saith, shall be one flesh." Now, please note that Corinth was a cosmopolitan city, and influences from all over the known world, cultural influences from all over the known world, met in Corinth. And so Paul established a church there, and these believers who had come out of the world and become members of the body of Christ were under severe persecution. And they had joined themselves to Christ. They had been made members of the body of Christ. But that influence, that cultural influence that pervaded Corinth was there before them. So Paul had to reassure them of the importance, understanding that now they are different. Now they belong to the Lord. Verse 16, he writes, "What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, he saith, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So Paul has to say to believers in Corinth in verse 18, "Flee fornication or sex outside of marriage." Excuse me. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. And he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body." What? Verse 19. "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In my next show, I'm going to go into more detail into this particular subject, because I want to explain to believing ones what happens when there is adultery, or in the case of a single person, what happens when there is serial fornication in the spiritual life. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you this day.